The thought tonight that the Lord gave me was Jesus loves Peter and to encourage us that he loves us. And we want to read some stories about Peter and draw our mind in. This apostle was a very special person, and God used him in a mighty way. We want to start by, in Matthew, when he first calls Peter in the 4th chapter of Matthew, in the 18th verse, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I was thinking about how the Lord called fishermen. If you study about this, you know, they were kind of, like a strong man. Strong, rough men that had to deal with these boats and big nets of fishes, and physically fit, probably. But they were, God seen something in them. He didn't call the mighty of the time back then, the leaders. He didn't call them. He called these fishermen because he saw something he could mold, and their attributes or the way that they were, he could make spiritual giants out of them. He believed that, you know, there's something to do a lot sometimes with our physical way we are, our personality, that God can take that and save us and change us and make us in his kingdom what he wants us to be. And sometimes, you know, so he called these fishermen. And two lessons we can get from this is when he called Peter and Andrew his brother, they straightway left their nets and they followed him. They just immediately followed him. And that's the way it is. The Lord wants us to be. And when we get saved, we left the world and we followed the Lord. And we want to continue to be like that. When he calls us for something, to be willing to let go and follow. Yes. And so that's the way. That's amazing how that they just didn't ask very many questions, did they, or anything. There had to be some kind of a spiritual feeling, a spiritual blessing that Jesus put upon them to cause them to change and follow. And it's just like us when we get saved. There's a spiritual insight that we get a hold of where we're willing to leave the world and follow the Lord. It's more than just words, but it's a very spiritual calling when God calls us. And it's wonderful. And we want to go on to, I want to talk a little bit about Peter. You know, when it says that he said he was talking to Peter and he said, Peter, he says, upon this rock I will build my church. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about him. But Peter, the word Peter, he was also called Simon and Cephas, and that means stone in Latin, and it means stone. And he was a stone for God. He was a rock, but it's taught Jesus is our foundation. I may not turn to that, but if you want to read it, 1 Corinthians 3:11-17, it says, Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is our rock. So we don't want to get confused about that. I'm not lifting up Peter in that way. What I'm trying to get a hold of tonight is how much Jesus loved Peter with his mistakes, with him being impulsive, with all those things. He worked with that. And how he works with us too. Don't get discouraged about yourself, because the Lord is wanting to make you a strong Peter. He can make you that way. And so I want to read, and also St. Matthew 16. And like I said, I might not be able to cover every story about Peter, but we're going to go through the ones that seem like the Lord inspired me about. But St. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Doesn't really matter what other people think of you. It's what you think of. And you know, isn't that the way it is with us today? Does it really matter if what others think that the saints are, the church of God is? Well, we know the truth. We have the vision of it. We know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we know what God has revealed to us, and we stand on that. Yes. It's a rock. Some people may not even understand us in the world or whatever, but we know what we understand. We know the vision that God has given us. And that's the way that Peter said to him. He said to him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Isn't this wonderful? That's the way it is with us. Flesh and blood has not revealed the spiritual things that we have got a hold of, but it's our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that has revealed to us. Praise the Lord. We want to turn over here now to the 14th chapter, back a little bit to St. Matthew 14. And we want to read a little bit about, before we get into him walking on the water, we just want to talk about this a little bit. Before Peter walked on the water, it's the story above that, the 14th chapter of Matthew, is when Jesus fed the 5,000 men beside women and children. A great miracle had happened. So Peter was already inspired with faith. Now, to us, we have to build up our most holy faith by reading, by studying, by listening to messages, going to service, whatever it is. We have to go after God. It just doesn't drop on you, so to speak. You know what I mean? But you have to go after God. It's like you might go after a nice drink you want or a nice food you like to eat. You have to learn how to go after godly things. You have to put forth an effort to learn, an effort. And this is what he had experienced, this great miracle. And so he was so full of faith he could get out of the boat and walk on the water. And you know what he said here? It says, and in the fourth watch, let's read the 24th verse. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And of the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear." Now we have to get ourselves in a vision of being in this boat and being in the storm and seeing Jesus walking, and us humans would think, what is that out there? Would we not? Yes. Is that a spirit? Or what is that? And so they were just being human, right? And when the disciples saw him walk on the sea, they were troubled. This is a spirit, and they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter recognized Jesus' voice. That's the way it is with us. We need, in the storms of life, to recognize Jesus' voice. He recognized right away, and he said, and straightway Jesus spake, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, do you think that's a little impulsive? Do you think that's a little courageous to be wanting to jump out the boat into the stormy water? I mean, what man does that? Peter? And so I see something about Peter that he was able to enjoy a miracle because of his impulsiveness. We can look at Peter and think, oh, Peter, you were just so impulsive. We can look at it the wrong way, or we can look at it, Peter, your impulsiveness got you a miracle. Your courageousness, that you were just ready to jump out of the boat. The other ones didn't get to walk on the water. They were on the boat. Not that we're criticizing them or anything, but I'm just saying they didn't get the miracle because he was willing to get out of the boat. Is that same with us sometimes? That we may not experience the fullness of spirituality or the fullness of godly things because we're not getting out of the boat. We're not going after Christ. We're going after other things. You know, and in this world, there's things that we can enjoy. And we go after that. I'm human. There's things that's legal that I enjoy. But I realize that Jesus is my first priority. And I must go after him. And I must fulfill my calling. And I can't get, idle in that. I've got to be willing to do what God wants me to do, just like you do. And so, but Peter jumped out of the boat. And he walked on water. Now, I don't know. If you tell me if you know of anyone else besides Jesus and Peter that talks about walking on the water. I love this story. I mean, it's amazing. So anyway, it says, so he said, let me come. Now, Jesus could have said, thought in his mind, or even thought, why? What about you, Peter? You think you're like God? You're asking me to let you do what I can do? Or he could have thought critical thing, but he didn't think that of Peter. You know what he saw in Peter? He saw something in Peter that was something he loved. Jesus loves Peter. He sees something in Peter that he, come on, Peter. You want to walk on water? Come on, I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you do it. Is that not with us that we could step out? There's a song like, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Just thought about that song. It's an old song, but it you know, that's what we have to do. Step out into the water. Wade out a little deeper. See what God will do for us. It's amazing what he can do for us. And so Peter, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Well, you might say, yeah, but he fell. Well, but he still walked on the water. He still walked on the water. I've never walked on the water. I don't know if I'll ever get to walk on water. But you know what? I know I could do it if Jesus was there and he asked me. And he gave me the power, I could do it. But I've walked on some spiritual waters. And I haven't drowned. I haven't drowned. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Sister Connie. We have walked on some spiritual waters and we have not went under. I thank the Lord. I'll say this real quick because I'm trying to stay on track, but my mind goes on experiences. Bear with me, but when I was in West Virginia and I was driving by myself one time to go see my family and I was going around Berwyn Mountain. You don't know Berwyn Mountain, but this is the southernmost part of that area of West Virginia. It is mountainous. It is like if you go off the mountain, you will probably die. You'll probably get in a bad wreck. Because your car would just roll over and over down. And here I am, and it starts raining, and my GPS took me, because I wasn't familiar so much, and took me on the shortcut to Berwyn Mountain, and I recognized it, because my grandma warned me of that mountain. And I recognized after I got on there, but it's a one lane, you can't turn around, and if a car comes, I don't know, you just have to squeeze by. So here I am on Berwyn Mountain, and it's raining. And what I'm trying to say, it reminded me of that song, I'm Not Going Under. Because I felt like I wasn't going to go over if God didn't help me, you know. So I started singing that song, I'm Not Going Under. And I don't know how to explain this exactly. But anyway, it was an experience that God got me over that mountain, and it was raining, and I couldn't. The ones that live around there, they know if the curve goes to the right or the curve goes left. I didn't know that. I'm depending all on God. You know, it's a spiritual thing that we need God sometimes so we don't fail or go under. That's what I'm trying to bring out. But anyway, I want to get back on track. But you know, this is wonderful. And we'll talk a little bit about this. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to seek. He cried saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Now it doesn't really, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Now it doesn't really say that But he walked on the water again. He walked on the water again. When the Lord got him, he had to walk on the water again to walk and get back in the ship. So he had quite an experience with Jesus. And Jesus loved Peter. Peter was one of his close people, you know, because Peter caused himself to be close to him. He worked on it. He loved the Lord, and he wanted to work on it. So anyway, we want to go over here a little bit to Jesus saw the sincereness of his heart and the zealousness of his heart. And even though sometimes we have faith and courage, sometimes we still have it mixed with some fear because we are human beings. This is what Peter was. He had faith, he had courage, but he also had a little fear. So don't feel like, well, I'm just not up to everything God wants me to be, because God understands. That's why I'm trying to preach, to encourage you that if God understands Peter, he understands you and I. And if he loves Peter, he loves you and I. So don't give up on yourselves and don't think, well, I failed and I did this, or I made a mistake, a bad mistake. Well, Jesus will forgive you. And Jesus will help you. And so we want to read a little bit more here about in Matthew 18. I think that it goes back over here to Matthew 18. And let's see. So I want to talk just a little about that. Let's see just where this starts. About Jesus, Peter came to him about forgiveness. In the 21st verse, he said, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times?" You know, Peter was thinking seven times is pretty good. Probably like in one day, you know, like forgive seven times, same offense in one day, that's pretty good. Well, as I was studying this, it said the Jew rabbis, taught the people to forgive three times, and that was sufficient. And so when Peter said seven, he thought, well, that's double that plus one, you know. So I'm really doing good, but he was not considering that this is not the law, but we're under grace now with Jesus. And Jesus saith to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Then it goes on, I won't read all that story about the servant. But the thing is like the servant, you know, owed a great amount to the, that's like our sins, you know, is a great debt. And Jesus forgave. But then they go to someone else that forgave, just owe them a little bit, which I read in a commentary once, I don't know if it's exactly correct, but it said like $20 compared to an enormous amount of money. And they went and forgave that $20, and they took him by the throat, and he said, you're a wicked servant. You're not going to make it, because you... So forgiveness is very important. And Peter thought he had enough. He thought he was doing really good until Jesus said, no, Peter. He's always trying to help Peter out, you know? Peter, he meant well, but still Jesus saw something in him. Is that not the way it is with us? Sometimes we mean well, but Jesus sees our heart. And even sometimes, you know, I was thinking about a while back, sometimes it hasn't been recently so much, but like you go to the Lord and maybe, you know, you made a mistake, and so you're justifying, you maybe praying about it, and you're trying to explain to the Lord why you did it. You know, and the Lord, he told me one time when I was doing that, he said, just confess it. Confess up. Ask me to forgive you. Because you know what? You can make all these excuses and try to say how you're so good. God don't want that. He just wants humility. Confess up. Ask the Lord to forgive you and go on. Because Jesus knows us completely inside and out, so to speak. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows everything. He knows about our person. He knew all about Peter. He knew all about him. So we want to turn to St. Luke 5 now. Jesus loves Peter. I know, I've been thinking about this for quite a while. I really didn't know exactly how to bring it out, but you're getting my thought. What I mean is, because Jesus loves Peter, he loves you. Because Peter got himself in lots of predicaments. Now, St. Luke 5, let's see here. They're catching fish. And it says here, let me just see where I want to start reading. Let's see. St. Luke 5, you can help me a little bit. I want, pardon, 30. Yes, that's where I want it. Yes, thank you. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and he let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at the word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So you see, and then Jesus says to him, And so was also James was astonished, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What he is trying to do there is show them, when I bless you, you're going to be astonished at all the fish you can catch, the literal fish in this world, the whatever, you know, we think we need. God can supply our needs abundantly, right? But all he keeps pointing back to is he wants us to seek him first. He wants us to follow him first. He can bless you. He can bless these fishermen and give them all the fish that he wants them to have. And he also can stop it and dry it up where they don't catch anything. It's because he was always wanting to get their hearts. He was always wanting to make them fishers of men. And they weren't getting it sometimes. But that's what he was wanting to do. He was wanting to make Peter a powerhouse for him. So Jesus called the fishermen. I mentioned that. But John 18 and 10. Now this is something that Peter did. And I know we all think he should not have did that. He should not cut that man's ear off. But, you know, there again, remember when he came to him one time, I don't have that, but he said, the Lord told him that he was going to die, you know, for us and rise again later and all, and they were going to take him. He was trying to tell Peter, and Peter said, no, this will never come to you. No. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things that are of God. Something like that. But it wasn't that Peter was trying to be wrong, but he didn't want Jesus to die that kind of death. He was looking at it as the flesh way. We want to preserve our family. We love them. He wanted Jesus to live, and he didn't want him to die on the cross until he understood better that Jesus did it for a whole world, that we could be saved. You know, and remember also when he said something about washing his feet. I don't have that written down, but he said, you're my Lord. Peter said, you're my Lord, and you're going to wash my feet? No, you can't wash my feet, Lord, because you're my Lord. You know, he's looking at it in a good way, in one way, you're my Lord, and you're going to humble down and wash my feet? No. And he said, if I can't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. And what did he say? My hands, my head. Okay, Lord, I made a mistake here. I made a mistake. But, you know, I'm just comparing it. Maybe we don't think exactly like Peter, but I think sometimes in our lives we have ways of Peter, maybe, that we do things and then And then we think, Lord, I messed up there. I wasn't thinking just right. But, you know, the Lord draws us in and shows us the spiritual applications and spiritual meanings. So anyway, over here in it was the same thing. St. John 18 and 10, he didn't want them to come get Jesus. And it said here, he says, let's read in the 10th verse. Then Simon Peter, having his sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus, M-A-L-C-H-U-S. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I don't know what stature Peter was. I don't know if he's a real tall man, a big husky man. I don't know. You know, maybe he was. These fishermen probably were pretty tough men. And he had his sword ready to go. And he just cut his ear right off. And he was trying to fight for Jesus. He was trying because he loved the Lord. But it was the wrong thing to do. See, and this is where we can sometimes think we're doing the right thing, and the Lord wants to help us. No, no, that's just not the way you do it. And so he said, put up thy sword. Jesus said to him, unto thy sheath, the cup which my Father have given me, shall I not drink it? Then the hand and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. But I was in the part that he said he healed him. And led him away. Where does it say that he healed him? Because I know he did. Anyway, Jesus touched his ear and healed that man's ear. And he touched it and put the ear back and healed it. Now, you think that would be enough right there. Did you find that verse where it says? Another part, okay. But we know he did touch his ear and healed it right there. You think that would have been enough to stop the whole thing and not take Jesus? No, because of their unbelief and their, I don't know. I can't imagine that. I just, if they saw that, how they could just keep on taking the Lord, but they did. So anyway, Peter was impulsive, but yet he was courageous. Pardon? You can read it if you have it.
Simon Peter, 19. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, for the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?
That's right. But it was when the part, you know, the Lord did heal the ear.
He put his ear back on.
Okay, let's turn to Acts 12 and 5. You know, I would encourage you sometime to take different Bible characters. I say characters, I shouldn't use character, but different Bible apostles or whatever, and study their life, study out their... it's really amazing when you do that. It just feeds your soul, I think. It just fed mine. But Acts 12 and 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now just think, Peter was bound with chains, two chains. He could have never got out without Jesus sending an angel. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. This, saints, is what we experience sometimes when we experience supernatural prayers that God answers for us. It is out of this, don't take it funny from me, but it's out of this world, right? You know, It's supernatural. It's divine. It's something amazing. When we're healed divinely, it's something supernatural, something that we could not do. With all the remedies or whatever, we could not do it, but God did it. That is touching the spiritual world, divine. And so this is what happened. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on the thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now even Peter thought, Am I dreaming? he didn't really wake up to himself that this is reality, that this is until when they were past the first and the second ward, they come unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. Praise God! Need to be shouting here. Which the gate, iron gate, open! And of them, and which opened up to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. They were going to kill him. And it wasn't his time. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. Isn't that so much like us? We pray for answers. And are you sure? You know, we're just human. We like that. And but Peter continued knocking, and he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go and tell and show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. But this is an amazing story about Peter too. And I'd like to turn over to St. John 21. Praise God. And I love all the disciples. I just think that Peter and Paul, some of them are kind of very interesting, you know. And St. John 21, and I had this, I know that, you know, how he denied the Lord. And, you know, I want to say, when he followed the Lord that day, there was another disciple, and I believe it was John, didn't say his name, but another disciple was with Peter, and they followed the Lord into that. He was following the Lord to see what was going to become of the Lord. So that was a good thing. He loved him so much that he was following him into right into where they were taking him away to put him on the cross. And Peter didn't deny the Lord because he didn't love the Lord. He was scared, afraid of persecution. Watch this. Because in our life, we may be afraid sometime of persecution. And we might not just do just perfect. I hope we do. I'm not trying to put that on us. But I'm just saying, try to think and not just judge him and like, Peter, you deny the Lord. You're such a bad person. Which it was bad. It was like, how could you do much worse than deny the Lord? But the Lord forgave him. He went out and he wept bitterly. And often the Lord even told him what he was going to do. Remember? And he said he went out and he wept bitterly. That's the secret. That's the difference. When we make a mistake or we do something wrong, if we really go to the Lord in our secret closet prayer and cry to the Lord and pray to the Lord and get it fixed up, and I'm not suggesting anything. I believe in living free from sin totally. Yes. But we are humans and we do make mistakes. But if we do, I'm trying to encourage us, don't give up on yourself. Jesus loves Peter. He loves you. Yes. And you and I, and he will help us. long as we have that desire to serve the Lord and we want to make it to heaven, if the Lord forgave Peter for such a transgression of denying him, surely he'll forgive us. But the difference was, you mean Judas went out. He didn't react the same way. But Peter wept bitterly over it. So this is afterwards when the Lord is talking to Peter. Peter denied the Lord three times. And if you notice, Jesus had rose from the grave and he visited them. And it says, and Jesus said in the 10th verse of the 21st chapter of John, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to and full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken, which was amazing. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Now this was after his resurrection, when he appeared to them. Jesus then cometh and asked bread, and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What did he mean? I know Peter, and they must have really loved fishing. But he's trying to say, do you love me more than this occupation you have? Because I want to make something better out of you. Do you love me more than these? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, that thou knowest that I love thee, Jesus. I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So he denied the Lord three times, and the Lord asked for three times of consecration. Feed, give this up now. Be a fisher of men. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So, anyway, we want to go over it to the Acts to end this message about what a powerhouse, you might say, for God he became after he was sanctified by the Holy Ghost. How we can be so much better when we get the Holy Spirit. None of us are so spiritual without the Holy Ghost. None of us can be more than a conqueror without all the equipment we need, right? If you go out to battle, just like little David, he was dependent on the Lord. That's where we've got to get our strength from. It's the Lord, it's not us. And we need the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit caused Peter to be even, took his qualities and made him a fisherman of men and made him what God really wanted him to be. He finally got Peter to that place he wanted him to be. Oh, I think some of our songs that we sing in our songbook, I'm thinking of that one, I think it's 300. I'm trying to think that verse I want, but it's about consecration. I see far down the valley. How's it go? I see far down where I wandered many years. Yes, often hindered by my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears. But song 300, by the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. So it's that way with a lot of us. We might not be exactly like Peter, but there's, we're all human. We all need the Lord. And so Acts, I want to read just a little bit. His first message, he began to say, Peter said, let's see, I was trying to get Acts 1, and I think Acts 3, I do want to get to that, yes. You're right, Acts 3 and 6. It says here, and now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all was amazed. And We know there are all different languages there. It wasn't a tongue that you couldn't understand. All was different languages, and the Lord caused them to understand each other in every language and every tongue where they were born. He caused that. If someone was preaching, like say they're preaching English, and a Spanish person would understand them. They didn't need a translator. And so that's what was going on. And Peter, I want to get where Peter starts preaching. Here it goes. It says in 28th verse, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." That's 2 and 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit only goes into somebody that's saved from sin, that's clean. The Holy Spirit will not go into a carnal temple. But when you're saved, you're a candidate. You can ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's a gift from God, and it helps us to overcome.
Yes.
"And for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off," that would be us, "even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So Peter's message after that, after he was sanctified, he preached 3,000 souls. How he was converted, how he asked forgiveness for denying the Lord, and went on to be fisher of men. And 3,000 souls were saved. So you see the boldness and the difference in his life. Which he was good. He was real good. But he just made the mistake. But anyway, I hope this helps you deny it. I love the Lord. I just want to please him. And I just want to encourage you that Jesus loves Peter, and he loves you and I. And he loves us just the way we are, except he wants to perfect us. He wants to mold us. He wants us to improve. He doesn't want us to stay in the place we're at. He wants us to grow in grace. Pray for me.